Today, we celebrate the second Sunday of Easter, and it's also known since 2000 as Divine Mercy Sunday. St. Faustina in the 1930s had a vision of Jesus that most of you are familiar with, and we have here in the sanctuary today, with Jesus in the white garment, his left hand on his heart, his right hand raised, and red and pale blue rays pour out from his heart. What you may not be able to see is on the bottom, it says the words, "Jesus, I trust in you." At that time in the 30s, devotion to divine mercy was needed to reinforce the proper understanding of the sanctity and dignity of every human person, because there were great evils at work in the world, like fascism and communism, that were destroying millions of lives. Our church teaches that when God first created Adam and Eve, they were constituted in a state of holiness and were destined to be fully divinized by God in glory, in the garden before original sin, as in heaven now. There is no need for divine mercy because there is no sin. But once Adam and Eve chose to disobey God, they immediately lost their original holiness that they were created with, and sin and death entered into our world. They had given into the temptation of the devil, and we have been living with sin ever since. And because we live with sin, we need divine mercy to lead us to heaven. God's love for humanity when he created Adam and Eve was everything they needed to spend eternity with God right from the very beginning. They were all set. They had no problems before they sinned. But once they rejected God and sinned, everything changed for them, and not for the better. Their lives seemed doomed. But since there is no limit to God's love for us, he made a plan to save us. And that plan was for Jesus to come and live among us and to suffer, die, and rise from the dead and become the perfect sacrifice to God the Father as an offering for the forgiveness of our sins. We just finished celebrating this Paschal mystery of Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection this past Easter Sunday. Divine mercy is a fruit of divine love. And in a sense, divine mercy directly counters our human sinfulness and allows us to maintain the hope for our own resurrection and eternal life with God. We can experience God's divine mercy through receiving the sacraments, especially the sacrament of reconciliation and the sacrament of the Eucharist. Just as God pours out his divine mercy on us, he calls us to be merciful to each other. The church has established the corporal works of mercy and the spiritual works of mercy as a list of actions that reflect how we are to live as Christians. And it's helpful to periodically review these expectations of us as Christians. As I read through these, consider the words from the Confiteor when we say, "In what I have done and in what I have failed to do." The corporal works of mercy are: feed the hungry, give water to the thirsty, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless, visit the sick, visit the imprisoned or ransom the captive, bury the dead. The spiritual works of mercy are: instruct the ignorant, counsel the doubtful, admonish the sinners, bear patiently those who wrong us, forgive offenses, comfort the afflicted, and pray for the living and the dead. The circumstances that call for our mercy came into the world along with original sin. Before the fall of man, life with God was perfect and no need was unfilled by God. If we do what we can do for each other, we believe that divine mercy will do what it can do to lead us back to our Creator in heaven. Finally, there are some powerful messages about faith in our readings today. The apostles, because of their faith in Jesus Christ, were able to perform many signs and wonders among the people. Great numbers of men and women were added to the believers. They believed that even Peter's shadow had power to heal. People were coming from the whole region, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all cured. Jesus delegated his power to forgive sins to his apostles. Now, he calls on each of us to accept on faith what Thomas witnessed in person, that Jesus has risen from the dead, and that his body has been glorified. It has his mortal wounds, but he is now alive again. That joyous Easter message of the resurrection is central. It's a central tenet of our faith. Jesus lives. Amen.